Good morning again. My name is Lance. If this is your first time here at Bethel, welcome to Bethel. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2 today. Acts 2, as you can see, we're in a series where we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Hopefully you guys have been here joining us for this series. If not, you can always go to our podcast. As Pastor Richard talked about, BethelCommunity.church. Go to our podcast and listen to our messages. We're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. But we're also talking about how He empowers us. And really, this is what we're going to focus on this morning. Now, here's the one thing about the Holy Spirit, and hopefully you're understanding this as we're walking throughout this series, is yes, it's good to have good information about the Holy Spirit. That's important. There's going to be some good teaching today on who He is. But Holy Spirit wants to go beyond just you knowing about Him. Here's the thing about the Spirit of God. Yes, we can know Him, understand Him, but He actually wants to walk and live through us. So that means we can experience Him. We can encounter Him. In fact, really growing in the Holy Spirit all throughout church history, a lot of it has come about by people encountering and experiencing the Holy Spirit. It's why God places us in community. We're really going to see that this morning. And as we look at Acts chapter 2, because we're really going to stick today in the book of Acts. You know, the book of Acts is really the book of action. The disciples moving in the gifts of the Spirit or by the Spirit to advance God's kingdom. And as we look at the book of Acts, and especially as we talk about the gifts of the Spirit today, or the Holy Spirit living in us, a lot of times because of maybe wrong teaching, or maybe you've never even been taught about the Holy Spirit, a lot of times when you talk about spiritual gifts, especially, people get hung up specifically on one of the spiritual gifts. And that's the gift of speaking in unknown languages or tongues. So many times people hear that and they either have been taught wrong or that it's of the devil. And they totally dismiss everything because of this whole idea of speaking in unknown language or speaking in tongues. Here's my encouragement to us today. Don't get hung up on that this morning, all right? There's more to the Holy Spirit than just one spiritual gift. In fact, in our community groups throughout this week, we're even going to go deeper in our community groups by actually talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But today we're going to be focusing on the Holy Spirit coming upon us. You know, here at Bethel, we do believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But we also believe in saying that we believe in order or form and power. See, sometimes churches have a lot of power, but no form or no order. That equals confusion and chaos. But we believe in form and power. Because when you have form and power working together, that can be transformational. Here at Bethel, we have a healthy and empowering approach when it comes to walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that the Holy Spirit is real. And we're also going to see that He desires to work through us. Let's read Acts chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1 through 4, all right? We're going to be looking at different scriptures today, so hopefully you have your Bible or you can follow on screen. Here we go. When the day of Pentecost, we're going to talk about what that word means, Pentecost, what was happening there. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rest on each of one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, or baptized in. We're going to focus on that today, the Holy Spirit. And began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the best way, I believe, to get our minds right and to get us thinking correctly and excited about talking about the Holy Spirit is looking at a video watching a Krispy Kreme donut getting glazed by the glorious icing. Have you ever seen this process? I mean, this process is glorious. When the glaze, the power, the glory, the sugary goodness from on high, when it comes upon that donut, I mean, there's nothing like it. Without that glaze, I mean, this donut would be bland. That donut would be tasteless. Could it be possible that this is our lives without the Holy Spirit? Could be bland, could be tasteless, could be, I don't know about that. But you might not know that the Krispy Kreme donuts is taking it to another level. Did you know that now you can get the glazed with your donut glazed with chocolate? All chocolate glaze. Let's look at this. I mean, you talk about something glorious. Look at this right here. Oh my gosh, for the first time ever, here we go. The original glaze goes chocolate. I mean, you talk about something that's amazing. I don't necessarily like the glaze white, but the glaze chocolate, man, I've got to have me some of that. Now, Pastor Richard and I did some intense research this week. As soon as I saw this video, because I didn't know this existed, but as soon as I saw this video, I said, let's go right now. We're going to get in the car and do some intense research. But we called Krispy Kreme, and they only do this the first Friday of every month. So on October the 4th, Bethel Community Church, let's meet at Krispy Kreme, and let's go for it. I mean, let's see how many chocolate glazed donuts we can consume. Are you with me? I mean, this is glorious. Now, I can't show you that video without giving you a donut. So our ushers are going to pass out donuts for everybody. This is going to help us. Again, we have wipes, we have napkins. We don't have milk or water. Sorry about that. So you're second service, and so you can get as many as you want. I mean, we have a lot left, so take some. We're going to pass these out. Hey, at least if you don't hear anything else, man, you're going to be happy you got a donut. And every time you go to Krispy Kreme, you're going to think about the Holy Spirit. This is what it's like to be filled with or baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, really, as you look at the book of Acts really reveals the story of the Holy Spirit and how He empowers us as believers to really walk together and live in Christian community. If you read your Bible, hopefully you do, and you read Acts, the whole entire book, I believe this book can be broken down into two words. And those two words are empower and community. Because really, this is what you see all throughout this book, that believers were empowered, but they were empowered to walk in community so that they could be a Christian or a gospel witness to those that didn't hear who haven't heard the gospel, or those who didn't understand the gospel. This is what the Spirit of God does. He gives us power and community to transform us, and so that we can walk in our destinies. As we come into Acts chapter 2, here's what's happening. Some rumors are going around that this Jesus who existed had died and He had risen, and now He was appearing to His followers. The high priest Caiaphas and the governor Pilate were very frustrated about this Nazarene, because for them, this Nazarene was a nobody. This was just a carpenter's son. But this man would not go away. After his body went missing, they knew they had to find it, because for them, people don't rise from the dead. For them, people stay dead. So they thought someone must have stolen the body. They needed to find the body. And so they went on a frantic search. There was a problem, though. The body was missing. They could not find the body. Now, while all this is going on, let's think about Jesus' disciples. See, Jesus' disciples knew that their lives were in danger, because for Pilate and Caiaphas and the Roman army, for them to stop this rumor, to silence this whole talk about this guy rising from the dead, since they couldn't produce a body, they would go to the next source, which was who? His followers. So the disciples, they are scared to death. And fear actually caused them to flee to Galilee. But here we have Jesus, the risen Jesus. He appears to them. He tells them, no. Get out of Galilee. Go back to Jerusalem and wait. Jesus is telling them, I want you to wait because I have something for you. Luke 24, 49, Jesus says, go back and wait, for there is a new power or a promise that's going to come upon you. Now let's do our best this morning and try to get a feel for what these men and women were feeling and going through. First, the high priest in Rome were trying to kill them. Second, we oftentimes miss this, Jesus keeps appearing and disappearing, and they have no clue what he's doing. I mean, this is an emotional roller coaster. In fact, this went on, friends, him appearing and disappearing for 40 days. Now, I know if I was there, one thing that I would have probably done is when Jesus appeared is grab Jesus, say, Jesus, stop disappearing. Stop disappearing. Have you ever been in the mall with your kids and they disappear on you? What do? You grab them. Do not do that. Stop. Don't walk away. I would have been like, Jesus, stop acting like my children. Stop leaving. Stop it. I mean, this went on for 40 days. On top of all of that, Jesus is now telling them to go back to the place where soldiers are trying to kill you. Now, for me, I would have said something like this, Jesus, can't we just wait here in Galilee? Why do we have to go back? Can't you just do whatever you want to do right here in Galilee? I don't want to go to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem are Roman trained soldiers. I'm a fisherman, Jesus. You did not teach me to fight Roman trained soldiers. I'm sure this is what they were thinking. I mean, they're probably thinking, Jesus, we've gone through a lot. How about you start to make things easy for us? We'll stay here in Galilee. And how about you go back? Because obviously, Jesus, you got it going on. I mean, you were dead. Now you're alive. You have more power than we do. In fact, Jesus, you keep telling us to wait for this power that will come upon us. Power is already on you. We don't have to wait. You go, set up your kingdom. You call a brother, and I'll show up, and you got it all figured out. I mean, this would have been my response. I think all of us have been there. See, here's the thing about these followers, and this is so key for us. They understood very little. We sometimes miss this reading our Bible. They understood very little of what Jesus was telling them to do. Yet, don't miss this, they still obeyed. That amazes me. They understood very little of what Jesus was telling them to do. Yet they still chose to trust Jesus and obey Jesus. Jesus, I don't know what you're doing. I think we've been there before, right? Jesus, I don't know what you're doing in my life. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. But I'm going to choose to have faith, to trust you, and obey. Have you been there before? Maybe you're single and you say, Jesus, I don't understand why I'm still single. But I'm going to still choose to trust and obey you. Jesus, I don't understand why my children are acting the way they're acting or doing what they're doing, but I'm still going to choose to trust and obey you. Jesus, I don't understand what my crazy spouse is doing. But I'm still going to choose to trust and obey you. The disciples did not know what was coming. They didn't know what was happening. It's not like Jesus gave them. He didn't tell them everything. He just said, go back and wait. Thinking, yeah, that's really good, Jesus. That doesn't help me. But they chose to do exactly what Jesus told them to do. This is what we have to do. Even when it comes to what we're focusing on today, the Holy Spirit. We might not yet fully understand the Holy Spirit. We might understand all that I'm even going to talk to you today about. But yet, can we? Because here's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to wait and say, Jesus, I'm going to trust and obey you, even though I'm still learning about the Holy Spirit. Here's the good news. The good news is it turned out good for the disciples. We're going to see this. And if God blessed them, guess what? He will also bless you and I if we trust and obey. So disciples, what do? They returned to Jerusalem. 50 days had gone by since the resurrection. And now they're celebrating what's called Pentecost. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. Pentecost basically is a big party. It's a big festival, a big celebration. All Jewish community from around around the city would come. Other nations would show up in Jerusalem. And here we have the disciples. There's about 120 of them in an upper room. They're sitting, they're waiting, and they're praying for Jesus to do something. Now, as they're sitting there, again, waiting for Jesus, I'm sure they're thinking, because they're human beings just like us, and they're asking one another questions. Like, I wonder what this power is going to be like that Jesus keeps telling us about. Now, all they had was stories from old, stories we read in our Old Testament. I bet you they're thinking, I bet you this power is like a military force kind of power. This is what they're thinking, I believe, to help us defeat our enemies. Because this is what God did for the Israelites in the past, right? They were in bondage to Egypt. What did God do? He showed up in the divine. He divine intervened. He showed up and he freed the Israelites. What about Samson? You think about Samson. This great man of power shows up and he kills all these Philistines. He frees Israel. Or maybe Gideon, who led the nation of Israel against the Midianite army. God has done this successfully before. So why not again? What kind of power, I'm sure they're thinking, is Jesus talking about? But what we discover is even though their thinking was wrong, we can't blame them, right? Because this is really all they knew. That even though their thinking was wrong, see, never did it cross their mind that God was going to use them to establish His new heavenly kingdom. But even though their thinking was wrong, see, they were still hungry for God to do what Jesus told them He was going to do. And God knew, I can change their thinking as long as they are hungry for Me and all that I want to do through them. Friends, this is what happened for me. When I started coming to a church like Bethel, that really taught like we are today on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I didn't have a clue about the Holy Spirit. I grew up going to church a little bit. Stopped going when I got to college and high school and college. So there wasn't much teaching on the Holy Spirit at the church that I attended. In fact, you might be like me or you might have heard some bad teaching on the Holy Spirit. Again, I said it before. Some of you might have been taught that it's of the devil. So I don't know where we're at, but here's the thing. No matter what our thinking is, if we're hungry. See, I was hungry for the things of God. And my approach to the Holy Spirit was, God, I don't completely understand this third person. I don't understand this thing about gifts, but I'm hungry for You. And whatever You want for my life, that's what I want. And so my heart was open. That's what I'm hoping that happens to you and I today. That as we walk through this message, that we say, God, I am hungry, because I believe all of us are, not for a donut. We're full on that. Hungry for more of Him. We are hungry to know Him in a greater way and to be used by Him in a greater way. This is the power we're talking about. We talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, here's a cool point. What we notice is as they waited for this new power, they actually waited together. Acts 2. They all met together. And we're constantly united in prayer. See, in Acts 2, now the waiting is over. The power that Jesus had promised had come, and it came in a mighty way, a way they never expected. And it did something to these followers. It changed them. It caused men and women who are fearful. In fact, you think about even Peter himself, who denied Jesus 3 times. He denied Him to a little girl. He denied Him to a crowd. 3 times he denied Jesus. But yet, in Acts 2, what we see, the same one who denied Him is the same one who stood up and declared who He was. What has happened to Peter? See, the Holy Spirit had come upon Peter. These men and women who were fearful, for some reason, great courage and strength and confidence in God rose on the inside of them. What was happening, what we're going to see, is they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. This power that came from God, the Holy Spirit, did some stuff in these individuals. First off, this power galvanized them together as an unbreakable force. The Holy Spirit made these followers of Jesus, they called disciples, a follower of Jesus, it made them into the church, a Christian community. Because of the Holy Spirit, they recognized their need for one another. that they couldn't live as individuals. This is why here at Bethel, we talk so much about, yes, you need to come to church on Sunday morning, but it's more than just coming to church. It's taking other steps, going to Starting Point, going to community group, serving on one of our volunteer teams, taking your hard-earned money and giving it to the place that you believe, God has me here. I believe in the vision. I believe in the mission of this church. So much so I'm going to give them my resources to be a part of it. See, the Holy Spirit empowers us to do these things together. This power also caused all fear to be removed. Fear, what others thought, was taken away by the Holy Spirit. These men and women now had boldness. They had confidence. This fear was replaced by joy. In fact, as you read your Bible, what you see is the Holy Spirit brings what's called an unspeakable kind of joy. It's a joy where you can't explain. Like, I don't know why I feel so peaceful and so comfortable. I know all hell's breaking loose. But yet, for some reason, I have this peace and this unspeakable joy that God's got it. It's because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. His power also brought new purpose and meaning to their life. See, the Holy Spirit empowered them to be an effective witness. Guess what? He does the same for you and I. This promise, friends, it's not just for them. Listen, again, there's teaching out there that all this passed away. That the Holy Spirit and His gifts passed away when the disciples died. It was just for them. Let me tell you something. Acts 2:39. I don't know where you get this or where they got it. The promise, because I don't believe any of you believe that. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off. Guess who that all far off is? Hello, that's us. All who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. So here's the question. The question for you and I today is, are we hungry for the things of God in our life? Are we hungry? Just because we might not think right about the Holy Spirit, are we hungry? God can change our thinking. But we've got to be hungry. Say, God, I want all of You. So how does this happen? How can we understand and embrace this thing called the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Let's get a good understanding of it first. First, when you look at Scripture, you actually see that we as believers experience three separate baptisms, okay? This is important. Three separate baptisms. The first one is we are baptized. This is what comes when we believe in the gospel, believe in Jesus. We're baptized into the body of Christ, all right? 1 Corinthians 12:13. We're going to see this in our Bible. Here we go. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Talking about the body of Christ, the universal body of Christ. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. Basically, it's for all nations, everybody. When you say, yeah, when you said, Jesus, I repent of my sins. I give my life to You. What's happening? We are being supernaturally. We don't do anything. It just supernaturally happens. We are baptized into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit does it. Number two, a lot of us know what this one is. It's water baptism. You see this in Romans chapter 6. A lot of us understand this because either we've gone through it ourselves or what we've seen others being water baptized. We understand that one. But this third one, this is the one that, again, brings some controversy or some questions. It's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Some might say the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't really matter. But I'm going to say baptism in the Holy Spirit. Again, it's not surprisingly that there is controversy over this because the devil hates and fears believers that are baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, here's the thing about the enemy, guys, is he doesn't care that you're at church today. He doesn't care. What he cares about is when you begin to embrace who you are in Christ and you begin to use your story of how Jesus has changed your life, where boldness and confidence comes, and you begin to tell others about it. You begin to do, in a sense, ministry. That's what he doesn't like. And so we shouldn't be surprised that there's controversy over the one thing the enemy fears, and that's Jesus and you and I being filled with the power of Jesus. So there's no wonder there's been some incorrect biblical teaching, wrong things said, but today we're going to get a clear understanding of who this is and what he wants to give us. Matthew chapter 3, what we find is John the Baptist introduces Jesus as the one who does, who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Here we go. He says, I indeed, talking about John, he's talking about himself, baptize you with water unto repentance, water baptism, we understand that. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, talking about Jesus, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. What will he do? He will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and fire. You see these in all four accounts of the Gospels. Right here in Matthew 3, you see it in Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, and John 1:33. As you put these together, what you see is some simple answers to some simple questions. Who's doing the baptism? Jesus is. Was he baptizing us with or in? The Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus, the one we trust, the one we've given our life to, the one we know, he's not going to give us something of the devil, something that's going to hurt us or harm us. He's not going to give us something weird. This Jesus is the one who baptizes you and I in the Holy Spirit. Now, that just like that Krispy Kreme donut getting immersed in that lovely glory from on high, it's very similar for us getting baptized in. Now, we don't end up all wet and gooey and sticky, but we see, this is what we're going to close in right here. There's five accounts in the book of Acts. Five accounts of people receiving this baptism. Let's look at it in our own Bibles, then we'll close. Acts chapter 2, we saw it, one of them, right? Okay, let's go to the next one. The next one is Acts chapter 8. But before we go there, John chapter 20 first. I got to say this first. In John chapter 20, verse 22, you can go back and look at it. Again, in our groups, you're going to be talking more about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are released. Not really focusing so much on that. Pastor Richard also will focus more on this next week. We're focusing on just the baptism in, this power coming. John chapter 20, what we see is Jesus, he's risen from the dead, and he comes to his followers, and he breathes on them. The Bible says Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, when you study this, this is where these men and women got born again, okay? Could get born again unless Jesus has risen from the dead. So they wrote, Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. They're born again. Now, just because they've been born again, this third baptism they haven't experienced yet. And that's why right after what he says, but I want you to wait because power is coming. And we're going to see, even when we talk about those three different experiences or baptisms that we go through, we're also going to see them right here in the book of Acts. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 8. Here we go, Acts chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 14 through 17, okay? It says, now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, so here they go, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, that third baptism, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, baptized in body and water. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received that third baptism, received the Holy Spirit. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 9. This is when the Apostle Paul, he receives the Holy Spirit. Acts 9, starting in verse 17. It says, so Ananias departed, this guy named Ananias, he's a follower of Jesus. Paul has just been blinded by Jesus. And Ananias is going to help Paul recover, who is called Saul, his sight. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, Paul, he said, Brother Saul, or Paul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. Baptized in body, water, spirit, and taking food, he was strengthened. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 44. Jesse, you can come on up, sweetie. Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 44. So this is Peter. Peter is preaching the first gospel message to a nation besides the Jewish nation, to these Greeks, and this is what, or, I'm sorry, Gentiles, which is what we probably are in this room, all of us. It says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Peter speaking, the Holy Spirit comes. And the believers from among the circumcised, that's the Jewish community, who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people?" See, actually, again, we learn by experiencing the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit wouldn't have came here, then Peter would have still have thought that the kingdom of God or the things of God, Jesus, was not for the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit said, "Let me show you." Bam, he comes. So Peter's like, how can we refuse water baptism if they have already been filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit? Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they asked him to remain some days. Last one, Acts chapter 19. This is probably my favorite one, Acts chapter 19. The reason why is because this was me. This was my testimony, my story. Acts 19, and it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said, "We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And this was my testimony. He said, "And what were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism," water baptism. Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. Pastor Richard, come on up. And began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Verse 7, there were about 12 men in all. Guys, when it comes to this third baptism, let's get this cleared up, because again, because of wrong teaching. I've ministered to people, talked to people. They said, "Pastor Lance, it was told to me that unless I am baptized in the Holy Spirit, that I'm not, then if I didn't, that didn't happen to me, then I am not saved." And I said, "Then friend, somebody has taught you wrong. Because when it comes to salvation, this is not, we're not talking about salvation. Salvation is the cross plus nothing. Okay? We don't do anything. All we simply do is believe in what Christ has already done for us, right? But yet what we see in Scripture, we see these three baptisms that we do experience in the body, in the water, and in the Spirit. Now, when I first heard this, again, this was all new to me, but I was so thankful. Now, here's why. Because as I started to hear about baptism in the Holy Spirit, it wasn't like I was isolated by myself and I read these scriptures and was teaching myself about the Holy Spirit. See, God had placed me where he has placed you. He placed me in community. And so I was able to look around and look at people that I trusted, people that I loved, people that I knew were for me. And I would see the gifts of God coming out of these individuals, and I would look at them and say, "Hey, I know that person. I know him or her. If God, you can use them like that, guess what? You can use me like that as well." So faith and confidence begin to arise in me. Now what we see here in Scripture, we saw what? That it was the apostles who laid their hands, or these disciples laid their hands on others and they received the Holy Spirit. That wasn't my experience. Nobody laid hands on me. In fact, for me, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Pastor, it happened at a funny place. It happened while I was in the shower. I know it's kind of weird, but that's where it happened for me. Some have his testimonies. I was driving down the road and all of a sudden, bam, I just felt like, man, the Holy Spirit came upon me. I was baptized because I asked for it. For me, it was in the shower. Here's my hope for us today. No matter what we've been taught or whatever, whatever our thinking, the Holy Spirit's correcting our thinking, but that we are hungry. That we're hungry for the things of God. And that we would say, "God, my heart is open." How do we get the baptism? Simple. He says, "Ask and you shall receive." Simply ask. "God, I want you to fill me with your Spirit." Then that third baptism comes upon us. Pastor Richard next week is going to dive into, and if you're going to start the conversation this week in your community group, guys, listen, if you're not in a group, get involved in a group. Get on our website, sign up, go to our Facebook page, you can click the link there, get signed up. We're going to go more in depth about these gifts. Pastor Richard is going to come and close out this series next week. Why don't we just stand to our feet here? We're going to do something real simple. And if you feel comfortable today, I just want you to lift your hands right where you're standing. Nobody's looking around. And I just want you to repeat, very simply, just repeat after me. Say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to think correctly about the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm hungry for you, and I want all that you have for me. In Jesus' name. Lord, here we are. I thank you for my friends today. And I pray as we continue, God, this week, and thinking about this message, that we would be.